And now here again is Eddie Cantor.
Oh, the wind blows cold in Iceland, but the wind's blown cold before. And it's not so hard in your own backyard to be set for peace or war. But you've got to be tough for that far-off stuff. You get into Leatherneck call. Where are you heading, Leatherneck? Come off to Tripoli, son. It's someplace in Africa, don't know where, but an ornery pirate gang is there who were under orders to sweep it bare of each pirate son of a gun. So off they went. It was 18-5, and they piled in there with a mighty drive till hardly a pirate was left alive, and Jefferson said, "Well done." Oh, the gale blows high in Iceland, but the gale's blown high before, and it's not so hard in your own backyard to be set for peace or war, but you've got to be tough for that far-off stuff you get in the Leatherneck Hall. Where are you heading, Leatherneck? I'm off to Iceland, son. There's trouble brewing across the map, and there may or may not be a scrap, but we ain't going to wait till it's in our lap. We'll head it off on the run. So off they march at a soldier's pace, and there may be a hell of a fight to face, but they've gone there anyway just in case, and America says, "Well done." Oh, the night may be long in Iceland, but the night's been long before, and it's not so hard in your own backyard to be set for peace or war, but you've got to be tough for that far-off stuff. Thank God for the Leatherneck Corps.
The Man Performance takes pleasure in presenting George Burns and Gracie Allen.
This is Gracie Allen, your Hollywood reporter, bringing you the latest inside gossip about...
I see. You're going to tell the boys what's going on in Hollywood, huh?
Well, sure, George. I'm just bursting with news about film stars. Forget it, huh?
I would. And if I were you, I'd forget the whole thing.
Well, I don't know why. I know my uncle was in the last war. He was a field marshal, and I used to write him all the gossip.
Your uncle was a field marshal?
Well, he wasn't exactly a field marshal. He was more like a brigadier general.
A brigadier general?
Well, no, he wasn't exactly a brigadier general. He was generally in the brig.
He probably was the second lieutenant.
That's what he was, the second lieutenant.
Yeah. And he liked all the gossip about Hollywood.
Yeah, that's why I know the boys will like it. Well, now here's a piece of scandal, fellas. The studios won't let Gene Autry or any other cowboy star sing Deep in the Heart of Texas.
I give up. Why not?
Well, because when they get to that part where they clap their hands together, they always fall off their horses.
Well, I hope Gene Autry doesn't fall on his guitar.
His guitar?
His guitar.
Oh, and fellas, if you ever meet Irene Dunne, there's something I want to tell you about
Irene
Dunne.
By the way, Gracie, what's Irene Dunne doing?
Dunne doing? George, what kind of English is that?
What English is that? It says, what's Irene Dunne doing?
You mean, what's Irene Dunne?
Gracie, isn't Irene Dunne a motion picture star?
Yeah, I saw her in Penny Serenade.
Well, that's the picture that Irene Dunne did.
Dunne did? Well, that's even worse than Dunne doing.
Look, Gracie, when Irene Dunne does a picture, it doesn't mean that Irene Dunne done a picture. It means that Irene Dunne did a picture, and the picture that Dunne did is what Dunne's done.
Well, I've got to go now, boys. Come on, George. I'll take your left arm and the nurse will take your right. Don't worry, nobody can hurt you.
Oh.
So long, boys, and good luck.
The Man Performance continues with Bing Crosby, my boss for so many years, along with the old schnoz, Jimmy Durante.
Each day with a song. Why, even when things... How long can that Crosby last?
Jimmy!
You feel better. You even look better.
Jimmy, great to see you. Great to see you. But why are you so late?
I couldn't help it. I just returned from a rendezvous with fame. I just stuck my nose in the cement at Grauman's Chinese.
Must have made quite an impression.
Impression? It was horrible, terrible. The manager came out, took one look at it, and fainted dead away.
Why?
He thought it was a bomb crater.
How'd you want to happen if Hope dropped in there, huh?
But it's great being up there on Hollywood Boulevard. All those beautiful dames. No kidding. A sailor came down the street with a blonde on one arm. He looked like a cruiser. Another sailor came down the street with a brunette on his arm. He looked like a battleship. Another sailor came down the street with a blonde on one arm, a brunette on the other. He looked like an aircraft carrier.
How are you doing?
Shake hands with a rowboat.
You know, Jimmy, you might do better in uniform.
I'm too old, Bing. Besides, I did my bit in the last war. I was a contemporary of General Pershing.
You were General Pershing's contemporary?
He held me in the greatest of contempt. We both got over that contemporary.
Doesn't make any difference, Jim, what you did as long as you were there.
I was there and tonight I'm here. But it don't make no difference whether Durant is here or there, because you always know he's there when you hear... Now once upon a time they sang the Bolio Do, but that was long ago. Then everybody started into boop-boop-a-doo. They got tired of that, you know. Crosby, I'll give you $50 to show me that note in the music. Put up, put up. Show me put up, put up in the music.
Fair price.
Crosby is showing me the music. Too bad I can't read. But the tune for you and me. That obbligato was very unnecessary.
Well played.
Is that swingy symphony they called it ink? A dinkity, a dinkadoo. Let me hear that again. Oh, what a tune for tuning.
Ah, ink. How do you do?
It's my number, Mr. Crosby.
Sorry, I was carried away.
Everybody wants to get into the act. You know, I went to the circus the other day, and I seen an elephant looking down at a little mouse. The elephant was saying to the mouse, look at the size of me and look at the size of you. Why, you're nothing but a wretched, insignificant little shrimp. The little mouse looked up at the elephant and said, listen, I've been sick. Let me hear that band. What a band, ink. Why, it's got the whole world spooning. You know, I was puttering around in my victory garden when I sees a little worm stick its head above the ground. It looked around and sees another little worm stick its head out of the ground. I eavesdrips. The first little worm says to the second little worm, how do you do? You're very pretty. I would like to marry you. And the second little worm says, don't be a dope. It's your other end. My second easy.
Now, here's Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy.
Mr. Bergen, I want to talk to you.
Yes?
It's very important this time.
Well, what is it, Charlie?
It's about a slight touch.
Oh, I see. A slight touch?
Yeah.
You mean you have a cold?
No. Slight touch of 50 cents.
Oh, I see.
Will you cough up?
I see. But, Charlie, you have no right to ask people for money unless you have been of service to them.
Of service?
Yes.
Well?
Well?
Well, you've been working pretty steady lately, brother.
I see.
Anyway, I'll do you a favor sometime.
But, Charlie, your whole attitude towards money is wrong.
Well, I guess it must be. I'm not getting any.
You mustn't expect to receive things for nothing.
No.
I remember as a very young boy...
Here we go.
I learned that lesson from the story of Pied Piper.
Pied Piper?
Yes.
You mean a plumber with a snootful?
No. Pied Piper of Hamelin.
Oh, I see.
Would you like to hear the story?
No.
Well, I'll tell you.
Oh, we are in luck, aren't we? Yes.
Let's humor him. Yeah. Once upon a time... Oh, it has original beginning, hasn't it?
Yes.
In the little town of Hamelin, you see, this town was overrun with rodents.
Rodents?
Yes, rodents. What's rodents? Oh, rats.
Well, you don't have to get nasty.
Well, no. Now, the people of the village were at a loss as how to get rid of these pests.
Uh-huh.
So one summer day, a young man came to the village, and he was called Pied Piper.
What do you do?
All right. Well, he went to the mayor and he said, I'll rid the town of rats for 1,000 guilders.
Yeah?
And the mayor said, I'll give you 50,000 guilders.
That's all right.
Yeah.
Now, how's he going to get rid of the rats in the town?
Well, I'll tell you. You see, around his neck, he carried a flute.
Uh-huh.
And he played weird music on this pipe, which would make the rats follow him.
Is that so?
Yes.
They'll do the same thing for a piece of cheese.
Well, no. Well, Pied Piper didn't need anything like that.
I see. Probably the music was cheesy. Now, will you please? What did he play?
I don't know what he played, but I do know that the rats followed him out of town and down to the river. And then the rats all jumped into the water and were drowned.
Why didn't they swim?
I don't know.
You don't know?
No.
Why did they go in the water if they couldn't swim?
Well, I don't know that.
You don't know that?
No.
Maybe they'd rather drown than listen to the music, huh?
Yes, yes, that's what it was. That's probably what it was.
Yeah, yeah. Well, if they didn't like the music, why did they follow him?
Well, I don't know.
You don't know?
No.
It's a wonder you wouldn't get the facts to the story before you try to tell it.
All I know is that the rats followed him and they went in the water and they were drowned.
Well?
Yes.
I don't believe it.
I see.
You can lead a rat to water, but you can't make him sink.
I see. Nevertheless, when the Pie-Eyed Piper, I mean the Pied Piper...
I think you were right the first time.
When he came back to Hamelin to collect his 1,000 guilders, what do you think the mayor said?
I don't believe it.
Now, stop that. Well, anyway, the mayor said, I will give you 50 guilders after he'd already promised to give him 1,000.
That was a dirty deal.
Yes.
That's a great discount for cash, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And it wasn't fair, but Pied Piper got even with him.
What did he do?
Well, I'll tell you what he did. He played his pipe again, and this time all the children followed him, and he led them into a mountain.
Into a mountain?
Yes, yes. Well, the mountain mysteriously opened up, and then after the children had entered, the mountain mysteriously closed again.
Yeah?
And the children were never heard from again.
Is that so?
Yes. And that is the story of Pied Piper.
And about as dull a thing as I've ever listened to.
Well, I don't say that it's a true story, but there is a moral to it.
Yes, there is. Never do business on credit.
Ladies and gentlemen, here's Red Skelton, along with Dorothy L'Amour, as a mean with a kid visits an army base.
Fellas, it's visiting day at the army camp that you left behind. And driving up to the entrance, we find a lady and her little boy. This time, Dorothy L'Amour has agreed to be my mother. And I'll be the mean little kid. Hey, Mommy, how'd I look in these soldier shoes? Look at this stripe on me arm.
You'll have stripes somewhere else if you aren't careful.
Yeah. Now, come, Mommy. This is no time to start playing 20 mule team.
Oh, Junior, at times I wish we hadn't kept your incubator so warm.
Yeah. Hey, watch me play soldier. Watch me go over the top.
Junior, you stop climbing over the seats of the car. Oh, Junior, you make me tired, always playing soldier. You don't know the first thing about the Army.
Yes, I do.
Well, we'll see. What does KP mean?
Oh, that's easy. Keep them peeling.
Well, here we are at the Army camp.
Yeah?
Now try and be good, will you? Are you going to be good?
Wouldn't you like to know?
Well, there's the guard.
Oh, who goes there?
Nobody. We just stopped.
Junior, behave. Oh, Sentry, my uncle is Major General Gillum.
Oh, yes, I know you now. The general left a pass for you. Proceed with caution.
Okay. Hey, mister, ain't you supposed to have a bayonet on the end of your gun?
Why, sure, it's right there.
Put it back.
Don't you hit me.
Put it back.
Don't you yell at me.
Look at that jeep go.
Junior.
Hmm?
Junior, dear, why don't you run back and forth across the road in front of the jeep?
That's dangerous, ain't it?
Yes. There's headquarters ahead.
Say, what's all them buildings with the bars on? Now I know why you brought me up here. This ain't no Army Camp, it's a reform school. You throw me up the river. You double-crossed me. That's the most dirty trick I...
Junior! Junior, this is an Army Camp. Look at the big guns, Junior.
Yeah, boy, when I see big guns like that, it makes me wonder.
Makes you wonder what?
Why I waste my time with spitballs.
What's going on out here? Oh, it's you, Dorothy. How are you, my dear?
Just fine, Uncle. You remember Junior, don't you?
Why, yes, of course. I remember him when he was just a little boy.
Shall we go inside, Dorothy? I want you to meet Major Smith and Burnham, you and Boyce.
I wish they are here.
Oh, no, you won't. You might shoot your hand off and waste ammunition.
Come along, Dorothy. I'm sure Junior will be all right.
Oh, well, here I is, all alone. I will look around for something for me to do. Me little hands are just itching for action. Uh-oh, look at that big gun over there. I think I will run over.
Hey, boy, get away from that gun.
Where do you get that boy stuff? I is Major Junior.
You look like more like Major Disaster.
Yeah. You don't look at your script, do you? Your major, though. Look, I think there's a little trouble up in the front, so you go up and see what it is, and then report back to me.
Promise me you won't go near that gun?
Yeah, I promise. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Your word's good enough for me. See you later.
You don't know me very well, don't you, Paul? Oh, boy, I think I will look at the gun. Look at the little door on the big gun. I think I will open it up. Gee, look at that gun barrel. I wonder if that's big enough to crawl with. It looks big enough to crawl in. If I do, I get a whipping. I do it. I will crawl up the gun barrel and stick me head out the other end like a gopher. Oh, boy, this is fun. Boy, it sure is dark in here. I wonder how the little bullet find its way around in here. Uh-oh. What happened to that little hole I crawled into?
Here, Dorothy. Here's one of the big guns. It's one of our 14-inch guns.
Gosh, are you using this gun for practice today?
Yes, we are. As a matter of fact, right now.
Uh-oh, that don't sound so good to me.
Ready to fire!
Wait a minute, don't shoot.
That sounds like Junior. Where are you, Junior?
You pull that trigger, you find out.
Good heavens. What are you doing inside of that gun?
Oh, boy, I never do that again, boy. Oh, I had a scared little character I heard.
Oh, why don't I ship you off to a restricted area?
Yeah. Oh, don't do that, Mummy. I will be good. Honest, I will.
Don't you mummy me. You're going to get the whipping of your life. Bend over.
No, don't whip me, Mummy.
Pardon me, Major Junior. I checked up on that trouble at the front.
Yeah, well, you stick around, brother, because now there's going to be a little trouble in the rear.
From the Command Performance Show in 1943, here's Miss Judy Garland.
Hello, Judy.
Hello, Bob, and hello, fellas.
You know, Judy, it's swell to be back on the radio with you again. Remember the good old days when we worked together?
That I do.
Gosh, a lot of water's flowed under the bridge since those days. Yes, sir, a lot of water's flowed under the bridge.
Bob, are you reminiscing or starting a commercial for that toothpaste company?
Well, anyway, a lot has happened. I can remember the very first day I arrived in Hollywood. I put my footprints in the cement in front of a Grauman's Chinese Theater. Then 15 years later, I put my footprints there again.
You put your footprints there twice? How come you did it a second time?
Well, they wanted to have one set of them with my shoes on. I should have your glasses. But look...
Oh, it must be fun, Bob, to look back at those days now that you have two suits and everything.
I've got more than two suits. Can I help it if my relatives get up earlier than I do? But, Judy, speaking of relatives, that fellow Dave Rose leading the orchestra, isn't he sort of a relative of yours?
Well, I guess husbands are relatives, sort of.
And do you suppose, Judy, that you and Dave could sort of beat out of a number together, sort of?
Okay, Bob. Come on, Dave. For the AEF.
Until my baby comes home. No, sir, no, nothing. As long as baby must roam, I promise him I'd wait for him till even Hades rolls. I'm lonesome, heaven knows. But what I said still goes. No love, no nothing. And that's a promise I'll keep. No fun with no one. I'm getting plenty of sleep. My heart's on strike, and though it's light, an empty honeycomb. No love, no sir, no night until my baby comes home. Promise I'll keep. No fun with no one. I'm getting plenty of sleep. My heart's on strike. Oh, it's like an empty honeycomb. No love, no sir, no nothing. Till my baby comes
home. For the memories. Ladies and gentlemen, that about does it for this 35th anniversary edition of Command Performance. You know, during the past 35 years, the American Forces Radio and Television Service has presented some of the most famous personalities of all time. And it continues into this year of 1977. The American servicemen and women have always been supplied with the best in stateside entertainment, from the hundreds of traveling USO shows to the 24-hour broadcast of American Forces Radio and Television. I am proud to be a part of this worldwide organization. These special broadcasts mean a lot to the listeners and to all us performers, too. So to each of you, keep your requests coming by letter, postcard, or just put a note in a bottle and drop it overboard. We'll get it somehow and shoot your requests right back. If you haven't got time to write, stick your thumbprint on a friend's letter so we'll know you're all thinking of us, will you? This is Bob Hope saying thanks for the memories.
This This is Ken Carpenter making a final entry on this copyrighted program. With thanks to Bob Hope, Dinah Shore, Fanny Bryce, Jack Benny, Bing Crosby, Bud Abbott and Lou Costello, Jimmy Durante, Frank Sinatra, Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy, Red Skelton, Judy Garland, and Eddie Cantor. This 35th anniversary Command Performance program was written and produced by Frank Brzee and originated in Hollywood. This is the United States Armed Forces Radio Service, the voice of information and education.